Welcome back to another installment of our Theo Bites. It is Zach Packy here, along with Sean, and along with our very own Zach Deacon, who is back and ready for action here with our podcast. This is his first Theo Bite.
First one.
Yeah, first one. We're really glad you're all with us. The question we're going to seek to answer, once again, as Atheist.org brings out, the idea of human sacrifices. Does God accept human sacrifices, or does he not accept human sacrifices? According to Leviticus 18:21, this is the text that they would bring out. This is the quote from that text: "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God." And that is a statement concerning the nature of children being sacrificed. And this is what they say, and this is not from Scripture, but this is their summarizing of another text that they would believe would be a contradiction to that. This is their quote. Quote, "In Judges, though the tale of Jephthah, who led the Israelites against the Ammonites, is being told," I think they meant the Ammonites, "being fearful of defeat, this good religious man sought to guarantee victory by getting God firmly on his side. So he prayed to God." Here's the quote from the text. "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." That's Judges 11:30 through 31. Now, they continue explaining their issue with it. Here it goes. Quote, "The terms were acceptable to God. Remember, he is supposed to be omniscient and know the future. So he gave victory to Jephthah. And the first whatsoever that greeted him upon his glorious return was his daughter. As God surely knew what would happen if God is God, true to his vow, the general made a human sacrifice of his only child to God." So, you kind of have a little bit of, I think, a bit of interpretation on their end in trying to figure out what exactly was taking place here. Now, it's not as explicit as there are other ones dealing with. So did God accept the human sacrifice of Jephthah, presuming that he did present a human sacrifice of his daughter? And would God have found that to be favorable? Sean, what do you think?
My thought would be just what I've heard by many good Bible teachers, and I agree with the principle, that narrative does not display what is normative. A story in the Bible is a piece of history, something that happened, in the same way that we would not sit here and say that disobedience to God in the sense of adultery is okay because David did it.
Right.
We see a lot of people of faith that still stumble in many ways.
Yeah.
And so Jephthah, not only do we have that same principle there, but we're also doing the book of Judges. And I'm not going to say much on this, but just the reality that the whole book of Judges is a downward spiral. You go from bad to worse. By the end of it, they're actually, Israel is described in the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah is described earlier in Genesis. So it's a downward spiral. So we don't look to Judges to determine how to create our ethics.
Yeah.
And so that would be a thought that I'd have. There's a few things more we could look at in a moment, but that's what I've got right now.
That was one of the things I was going to say. Judges 17, verse 6 says essentially that every man, well, that's what they say, that there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so I really do think that you could see some of the nature of Jephthah's actions along that same line. This wasn't a man that was truly led by God. And this is where I think the important question you need to ask in trying to figure these things out is this. Are you saying what the Bible is actually saying? First off, a couple things I would dispute with their description of what took place with Jephthah. One, they called him a good religious man. If you go through the story of Jephthah in Judges 11, he was not a good religious man. He was the son of a prostitute, 11:1. He surrounded himself with worthless men, 11:3. He was called not by God to his position, but he was propped up by the elders of Gilead. In chapter 11, verses 5 through 11, he was superstitious, he was rash, and yet he was made a man who made some military campaigns against Ammon. And so to call him a good religious man, I don't think is an accurate understanding of this man's character. And secondly, the other dispute I would say is they said that the terms were acceptable to God.
Where does it say that?
Where does it say that? Right. That's the question. Are you saying what the Bible is actually saying?
God doesn't ever speak in the narrative, does he?
No. He doesn't. The only thing you see in the narrative of Judges 11 is the Lord leading Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord led Jephthah from one place to the next. And it was after that leading that Jephthah makes his rash vow to sacrifice whatever comes out to him. And so I think sometimes, like you say, what is narrative is not normative. What is described is not always prescribed, is another way to say that. And so if there's a moral to this story, the story isn't God accepts human sacrifice. The moral of the story is do not make rash vows.
Yeah.
Listen
which
to...
Which goes back to some of the same passage that we looked at with... They were in Leviticus. There's talk of that same. Is it Leviticus or Exodus?
Well,
moral code and rash vows are addressed.
Yeah. And Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 22. This is what it says. When you make a vow to Yahweh your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it would not be sin in you.
Right.
Understand that. There's nothing about God saying, I require of you a human sacrifice of your daughter, everything is on Jephthah. It's not on God for the sacrifice of Jephthah. Now, I will just say, too, there's dispute as to whether Jephthah actually made a human sacrifice or if he simply kept his daughter a virgin. There's reason in the text to believe that, and that's the dispute on this text.
But even with that divide, like just either way, the atheist, American atheists get it wrong. Where if he did, in fact, make the sacrifice, well, God has still plainly said in Leviticus, don't do this.
Right.
We see somebody in Judges 11, Jephthah, go rogue, but it doesn't justify it. But at the same time, if the other reading is correct, that he only kept his daughter a virgin, which ironically would still leave his line in jeopardy because she's his only child.
Right.
Would still leave the line in jeopardy, that in that case, then this text becomes completely irrelevant to the comparison. And then you just have to say the American atheists have a misread of the text, and there's really no connection back to Leviticus 18. So either way, it doesn't really float.
To support the view that this wasn't a human sacrifice, but to say that he kept his daughter a virgin, Judges 11:37 says, quote, she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go to the mountains and weep because of my virginity, I and my companions. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her according to the vow which he made, and she had no relations with the man. So you could read that and understand that this was the fulfillment of the vow, not a human sacrifice, but a living sacrifice of a woman that would be a virgin for the rest of her life, that kind of thing. So some have made that argument, but others would say that he did make a human sacrifice.
I think he did sacrifice because it says who did with her according to his vow that he had made.
Yeah.
It's in Judges. If you think that's atrocious, and it is atrocious,
right?
Go read the last four chapters of Judges. There's a lot of bad stuff that happens in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was reading, well, I still am. I'm reading a book now on, it's called Jephthah's Children, I think.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with necessarily the story,
but
it has to do with same-sex parenting
and
the repercussions from that. I think it's called Jephthah's Children. It is what the book is called. I can't remember exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And the authors use this text as an introduction to the book.
Right.
And they point out interesting things like, we have no idea where his daughter came from because there's no inclination that he was ever actually married.
Mm.
That he could have adopted this girl. He could have found her. He could have, you know, whatever. Because, and my point, I guess, where I'm going with this is something that you already made. Like, there's no indication that this was a godly man. He was the son of a harlot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he surrounded himself with horrible people. And that led to the rash decision making,
right?
And I mean, for me, when I was reading this, because I'm in Judges, just reading, but then also I read this story because of the book that I'm reading, and then to think about it in light of the little theobite that we're doing, I don't think there's any question at all that this is a stark warning for the direction a nation goes as it continues to spiral out of control away from God, the individuals within the nation of Israel. I mean, even up to this point, you read time and time again that, and then Israel drifted away from God, and then Israel just drifted away from God. And for me, like, it was almost a reminder, too, of, and I wouldn't go to this text to argue for some type of generational sin, but I think it is an example of, I mean, he's the son of a prostitute. He wasn't the son of godly parents.
Right.
He wasn't the son of righteous individuals. And this is the individual that you get.
Right.
This is what happens when you don't raise someone up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They go off and they make ridiculous things. I mean, let's say that the first thing out of the door of his house was still his most prized cattle.
Right.
That's still ridiculous, right? Yeah. And so the authors of this book, as they use the story as an introduction, use that as a point too. Like, he was clearly a low life in society who was promised something. Here, we'll give you a chance to not be a low life anymore. And he said, whatever it costs, the first thing out my door, I will sacrifice to the Lord if you get me out of this reputation of being the son of a harlot.
Right.
And it ended up being, I mean, who would do that? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, who would do that with anything?
Right.
You know, like, you give me this, and whatever comes out of that door, I will sacrifice. That is stupid.
It's stupid.
It's vain.
Vain and self-centered.
Yeah.
And I would just give a 20-second warning to us and our listeners that we not forget that Jephthah is named in the faith chapter of Hebrews 11.
Hmm.
So let us not think that we are above this.
Yeah.
But to take this as a warning, owe us to walk in the fear of the Lord. Because Jephthah, although we may have trouble to see how he could be named in the faith chapter after what's said in Judges, but the reality is the scriptures name him in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. And so as followers of Christ, let us not be arrogant, but let us take this narrative as a warning to be walking in the fear of the Lord, to take his word seriously, and to walk in humility.
With that, thank you so much for tuning in to this Theobite. We're grateful you came with us. You take care.